This is Channel One Right. This is Channel One Right on a new reel. Patterson, the number I don't remember. This is Channel One Right. This is After Supper on that Thursday, the 23rd of May, 69, on mules. I'd taken the blacksmith over to work on trim Emma's feet, and Emma wouldn't have anything to do with it. And that started us on a mule. Now, this is after all that trouble that Phil has been having. Thursday After Supper, the 23rd of May, 69, Channel One Right.
When I failed Sunday was the only time I had. And I had met two of those Marlins pipes made. A good cold chisel and a hammer, and that's all you need. And I asked him, did he have enough cable to splice it? It takes about, 10, 12 feet.
Oh, that much?
And he said, yes, said he had plenty of it. And I spliced it.
Mm-hmm.
And that old man couldn't hardly believe it.
Yeah.
When I was just a boy, there was a big sawmill at Ashburn, Georgia. And they hauled logs over the railroad by home. And most every Sunday, they would stop and get me and carry me out in the woods to splice the cables there. Get a cable.
You mean
he might do, Emma might do something to Woodard?
No mule, you never give them out. You don't tell them what one is going to be.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's the truth.
Is that right? You mean as much as Woodard handle that mule?
Yeah, and that mule could get mad with him and kill him. Of course, he's old. That used to be a mighty pretty mule.
Yeah, still pretty. That's She's true. Slicking up again now.
Well, he's still a mighty pretty mule. We had that when he was talking about using that whoop on him. Had him over here in the field, and I had a nigger applying him, that little genie Patterson.
Mm-hmm.
And he wouldn't let him face his trace. And I walked up there. Oh, she knew me, and she knew that the truck, and she didn't give nobody no trouble. She'd see me coming. She'd stop, you know, and watch the feed, and I got out because I'd better intended to. So I walked around there and hold her still, and she just down like that, you know, and just bit the biggest blood bluster on my arm you ever seen. Just
mm-hmm.
popped it with a lick.
Mm.
And I got through using my fist on her nose. She stood still.
Yeah.
And, he faced the traces went on fire.
Yeah.
But they'll bite you anything.
Show you how mean she was. She was in that patch out there, and there was four of us out there trying to drive in that gate in the barn to catch her.
Yeah.
Couldn't do it. I went to the house and got 410 shotgun.
You mean she'd run right through you?
With some number six shot in it. And I went way down in the corner, and she come by me, and I shot her.
Hmm.
When I got back to house, she was in the barn.
Hmm.
No, you can't fool with them.
Yeah.
Well, now, why was this boy so good idea? You heard old man Bradley that lived down here where Mr. Brumley did live.
Yeah.
That was his house. And the mule that we had just so long, not this one, fell shot. But she was a good mule, too. And you know, they couldn't make her go by old man Bradley's house. Now, by the way, she wasn't going by that. I don't know where she smelled something bad or what it was. Before she'd get close to that house, she'd go to perking her ears up, you know, and back and back. And she just wasn't going by that. Now, they could turn up there by the nigger church, go around by the white folks' church, and go down there. They asked them, but she wasn't going by old Bradley's house.
Yeah.
And I don't know what it was, and she smelled something like that.
You never found out?
I never found out. Did you, Fanny? You know, so she just wasn't by. I don't know why she wouldn't do it, but she wouldn't go by that.
That I don't know nothing about. God, if I'd have been driving there, she'd have went.
Well, it was new growing, it was old Uncle Will growing.
Well,
and she'd turn up here by that church, they wouldn't have a thing, a bit of trouble in the world with her. But when she started by Bradley's, now she just wasn't going by that.
Well, sir.
They are mule and what?
You think?
And they were beautiful animals.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't ever remember a line being put on either one of them.
Yeah.
You drove them, snake logs, loaded logs on the truck with those mules, and they didn't have no lines at all.
Just spoke to them.
Mm-hmm.
You've seen the prettiest beaver that I've saw in my life. One was iron gray, and you caught on the other in the bay, didn't you?
Roan.
And a.
He sold them mules to the city of Albany.
Yeah.
When they promised to keep those mules till they died.
Yeah.
But people that come from Albany out there to the woods to watch those mules work.
Is that right?
That I've seen J. Bridges and Harrison be loading a logs, and they'd have that log just about halfway up on the truck. You know, had skids to pull it up, and they'd on the other side of the truck. And they'd holler for them mules to hope, and one of them mules would stop right there. And they'd hold that log there. I mean, they didn't slip down.
Mm-hmm.
They'd change that chain and push the log back down like the one said, all right, load it this time. And whenever that log hit that truck, those mules stopped.
Yeah.
And turn right around and come right back by that truck and back up to it, away from the hook, another log.
But somebody was handling them.
Talked to them. They didn't drive them.
It was somebody that knew how to handle them.
That Harrison and Jay knows how.
Yeah.
But they was, one of those mules was a fiery thing when we got him. But he came down without
having him. I've seen Harrison wake him, and it was hot, and he pulled the bridles off and lay them on his top. Big, heavy bridles. They wake all afternoon without a bridle.
Yeah. Well?
But those mules wasn't beat.
Oh.
And nothing else.
Old man Fry had some good mules. And he had four of his mules up there, wanted to load them for, snake it out and load it on a truck. And he asked me, would I send four of my mules up there to load that boiler for me with his four mules?
Mm-hmm.
I told him, I said, Mr. Fry, I said, you go ahead. And I says, you need to send your mules down there. I says, I'll load it on my truck and bring it down there to you. He said, you mean to say your four mules is going to load that boiler? I says, no, sir, two of them will. And I went up there. And of course, them folks know how to handle things like that. And the boiler was between two houses and had to snake it out of there to load it. And they got a pole about that big around. And they pulled the pulley as far one way as they could, you know, and stuck that pole down there and put a roll on the bar and rolled it up on that round pole. And when it hits to it, they pulled it about two-thirds the length of the boiler, and they stopped them and put another down there and went on out there and backed the truck up to it and put some skids on it and loaded it on the truck without any trouble. It wasn't that my mules was any better than his, but the thing about it, they were better trained.
Yeah.
They pull together. You know, so many people don't know how to make a animals pull together. Now, if they pull together, they can move most anything, but if they don't pull together, you know, one run out, you know, and then the other run out.
Yeah.
But those mules were trained and, where whenever you told one, they both pull together.
Mm-hmm.
If they had all they could pull, you know, a log so big till it was just all they could pull, that fella Harrison wouldn't let them pull it over 25, 50 feet. And a lot of people say, oh, while he's going, let him go. He'd stop them. They'd catch their breath and he'd say, let's go. They'd get out and get it and go again.
Yeah.
But you had to watch them. It was something to watch them.
Yeah.
How that they would do whenever they'd hook them to anything, if it was, you know, like moving out a bar or anything like that. You'd see those mules walk out and they'd test it.
Yeah.
You know, they would walk out and pull.
Yeah.
You know, they wouldn't pull, you know, but whenever they seen what a load it was, those mules, I've seen that Ida and Henry was the name, and I've seen those mules go to their knees.
Is that right?
But they would move it out of there.
Yeah.
If two mules could move it.
That's been a sight to see. Been that worth was, coming out.
It was
out
worth
of town.
Something more. Now, that mule we had down there, I mean, not one fell shot. One we first mule we had down here. That was a good mule. She would pull like that. And you'd be down at that barn sometime and right on where that water trough was, you look there and you'll see that thing is about that full. The whole building there is about that much full out of in a place down that cell. I mean, the cell's pulled out.
Yeah.
And Phil had a load of fertilizer and the wheel went against that. Yeah, I believe she'd pull that barn side that down and try to stop. But now she would pull it right then.
Yeah. Yeah, just good animals.
Yeah, just, well, they just had good trainers, too, with them. That's the thing about it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what counts.
But
you know what those people cost?
I know they sold way on up there.
$450 a piece.
Yeah.
Yeah, mules cost something then.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right, you get a good pair of mules, it costs you around from $900 to $1,000.
Yeah.
Now they do good get for you, $50 for one.
Yes, I think.
And it never was empty. We give them all day, needed at night. In the daytime, we'd give them some hay, have a block of hay, and let them eat that hay at noon. But we didn't feed them but once a day, and that was at night, but they could eat all night if they wanted to.
Yeah, and it was
that. But they pulled it in the trough by the 100 pounds.
But they tell me you can't feed horses that way. that a horse will eat enough to found itself, make itself sick.
Mm-hmm.
But my horse, I turned him in the barn with, I guess 25 or 30 mules. And I never did have no trouble with him.
Yeah. Can you run a bunch of animal mules together and in a lot?
Can I do what?
And run them out there together in the lot?
A mule will break mule. His neck for a horse. They love them better than anything in the world. A mule wouldn't hurt a horse for nothing.
Is that right?
Isn't that right, Bill?
I never seen a mule would hurt a horse.
Yeah.
He'll fall
into
their
fold.
Yeah.
Me and
Will.
Now they're
crazy
about
a horse.
Is that right?
Well, I was thinking. Me and he just maybe love to aggravate the other.
Yeah.
I've seen other horses, you know, play. They're biting each other and all, but I don't think they mean it.
Well, now he was mean one night.
A horse that fights. It's dangerous.
Yeah.
They can just ruin another horse.
Yeah.
And quit.
I know something.
I wouldn't go up to Pierre. I'd make him turn around for me to, you know, catch him.
Yeah, I would too. I wouldn't do that, but if when he wheels on you, you don't have much say about it.
Well, it's so much different now.
Yeah.
Than there was when I was young. There's so much difference, you wouldn't think it was the same nationality or race of people.
No.
Well, wasn't it in, where was it at? That these, they was fixing for the governor a big dinner feast, you know, and all, and they were gathering there. And about 150 niggers come in there and just to destroy the food.
Yeah, I heard about that.
And fair, I think that was fair. There was a things are happening like it is.
It looks like guys that these congressmen and senators don't know much more what to do with this situation than you and I. It takes to bring this thing back in line. I don't know what it is. But I ain't supposed to have any sense anyway.
You know what the niggers told me?
These here people that does supposed to have some sense. Been left up to university now in June. It'll be 6 years. Well, I can tell a whole lot of difference. I can tell a lot of difference.
And guy,
just in that time.
Something else that people like about them, they don't like the wages.
Yeah.
And that's the thing about it.
Yeah. Now you
but I haven't seen her in a long time. Always ask Woodard how she is. I thought sometime I'd go down that way to see her, she's a good nigga too.
Yeah.
She always, whenever I see her, she wants to know how Dale's getting along, how I'm getting along. But
yeah.
Her health is bad.
Yeah.
And she don't hardly.
Now that's the end of this little tape on Thursday, the 22nd of May, 23rd of May, 69. After supper over at Mrs. Patterson's, talking about mules and splicing cable and, the last thing, Phil said it looked like people are just not the same as they used to be. It might be just a different race, different nationality, he said. Thought that was so myself. The Thursday, the 23rd of May, 69, this is Channel 1 Right around 2:20. Channel 1 Right around 2:20, Thursday, the 23rd of May, 69. This is Channel 1 Right around 2:20. A continuation of the study session at Ms. Patterson's on Tuesday, the 17th of June, 69. This is carried over from the other reel. This is a continuation of the study session with Leola and Miss Patterson and the two ladies, Claire, on 17th of June, Tuesday 17th of June, 69. This is Channel 1 Riot, around 2:25 now.
And Jesus says there will be no reward for them from my Father in heaven.
Well, now, in New York now, they have this, he has this crusade.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems they just fill all the buildings they have.
Sure.
I heard him say he wished then that he had contracted for the Yankee Stadium.
Well, if you'll notice the policemen, that they have to have there to keep the people quiet. And they're there by the thousands. But you don't have any policemen to when a Jehovah's Witness is
the police force, they send a few. Because that's what they're supposed to do. But they don't have any work to do.
But the policemen in New York said if all the meetings was there was Jehovah's Witness, they could do away with the police in New York.
I read that in the papers where they said they didn't need any policemen at all.
Well, we know to behave.
Well, we're talking drunkenness and immorality and idolatry and all those things has no part in God's kingdom. Well, what do you see going on? Even among your religious clergy. They lie,
they cheat,
they steal, they're immoral. So how can they lead the people to the true God? They can't, can they? Well, I heard Cole's with praying and everything. Jehovah, we have to follow. We do thank you for this very interesting period of time that we have spent together this morning. And you have said that where two or three are gathered together in your name, you are with them. And so we do thank you for your Holy Spirit being our guide and teacher to help us to better understand these things. And now, Jehovah, we ask your blessing upon the efforts of those making the preparations for these coming conventions, which require so much work. But we know that your will at this time will be accomplished. And so we look forward with great anticipation to the things that we will learn there for our benefit. And we do ask you will forgive us our many shortcomings in Jesus' name. Amen.
How's your clipper getting along? How's your jalopy?
It's running. That's about all. The battery went bad on me and the regulator, and I had to get to that new here last month.
Oh, really? And
trying to save money to go to that convention. And I got my money sold up before it comes for the next 6 months.
For a while I got it on my mind. Raph said that you go all the way on 75 to Atlanta, all about 14 miles. He said, don't get off up that ferry.
Oh.
He said that you come, said it was about, I think he said 14 miles.
Oh. Well,
and
that's
said,
good.
He says, don't
because
get off of it only where they tell you to, and you just, you know, go around and right back on it.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, don't get off it there.
No, I'm not driving. I wouldn't dare take that thing out and start. I'm going with another one of the witnesses, and I'm praying.
Mm-hmm. Well, some of
back they used to say that if you didn't get off at Perry, you had to get off up the line farther, and then you had to drive about 100 miles to get to Atlanta.
Well, mm-hmm. He said
that. Well, able to take care of you now?
Yes, betwixt and between them. Then let's see. Then what was the first thing here that happened? Okay, something cost me $2. I called Mr. Donaldson and he told me to go down to Mr. Rowell right there at 10th Avenue. And I forgot now what that was. And he fixed it up. It was $2. And then here last week.
That was mighty cheap. Didn't get anything for $2.
Yes, I know it. But I can't remember what that was. What was it? Anyway, then when I took Laura up start the last time. My brakes began to go bad on the way up there, and I came home with practically no brake at all, and I was terribly upset. Oh, I know. No, that wasn't it. It was something else. And I called him up, and he told me to go down there and have him check. It might be the wheel seal, or it might be a leak. So I went down. Of course, the fellow, he had more strength than I had, so the way he drove it around there, I had still had a lot of brake. But anyway, they said that as the fuel of the lining gets worn, it has to be adjusted. So they adjusted it, and that was $2.
Mm-hmm.
Now I just hope that don't anything else come up before I go to Atlanta. Because the other business, I had to put that on a bill and pay him as I can. The people that do work for me, there's no agreement so much a month. I explained to them beforehand, and I'll pay you as I can.
Mm-hmm. Did your battery just go clear out?
Yeah. Oh, I know what it was. It was the trouble with the battery. And I had to have them come up and start me. And I went down there. And the fellow says, well, before we can check the battery, they thought it might be a dead cell. Says, before we can check the battery, says, we'll have to charge it a little. Well, he put it on charge a while, and all was coming up beautifully. And he says, well, there's nothing wrong with that. He says, I guess it was just flat. So the coming up and starting it, and the charging, they charged me $2 for it. Well, then it just went 2-3 days, and it was flat again.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see, how did I get started then?
Oh.
I got down to Mr. Donaldson anyway, and then he sent me over to those people down on Southeast 2nd Street because he thought there was something more than that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got down there, and they began checking it. And he says, do you do a lot of driving out of town? I said, no. I said, I don't go out of town very much. It's just around town. Well, he says, this regulator is putting out as high as it can. Is there a meter red? 18.5. He says, you burned your battery completely up. So that's where the regulator and battery $30 bill came in.
Oh, goodness.
I had a man put the wrong regulator on mine, but the generator and the battery up.
Why?
Oh,
yeah,
I
didn't do that. He says, do you want to handle this bill through us or through Mr. Donaldson? I said, you do it to Mr. Donaldson. Because I knew me and what was up against everything, so I gave him a little bit.
Very nice.
That's the way I'll have to.
You know Mr. Donaldson?
Yes.
Go be done
with him for years.
He has an aunt that's a witness. So he's always been very good to the friends.
Mm-hmm.
And when I came to Gainesville, of course, they turned me over to him, so I've always gone to him unless it was some...
The servicemen's wives, he's always so good to them. He was always so good to Anne when Ellis was overseas. If she had to buy something on a credit, like you say you did, why, Mr. Donaldson always got it for her and give her the chance to pay for it.
Those people that come to mind, who was at the trailer, they bought their trailer from a man in Ocala. He's a witness.
Oh, Brother Purdy.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
They bought their big trailer from them. That's a beautiful thing.
Moved it out to your house?
Yeah, you
travel land.
You can walk up to anybody as a witness and tell me one of the friends from a certain such a company. You know. And
he's not going to have anybody that witnesses
that
out there.
Friends.
Well, that's he won't
right.
have let anybody wife right. that's not a witness out there.
Thank you very much.
Well, you know, if it's somebody that'll just sort of look at it from your point of view, I have to pay a great big sum, you see.
That's right.
And of course, he's lots of times he does the work. He doesn't charge for his labor at all.
Yeah.
You just do it.
Yeah, if I had to get somebody, I could
go back to them. You know, could she go back and pay? You know, they had to turn in returns together. You know, so, I mean, tax, income tax. They had joint accounts, you know, together. You know, turn in, you know, like our even fee has that same way. Y'all turn in the income tax.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to go back and pay it on her for so many years, and then where she could draw it. And they told me, says, well, says her husband could, says, why not pay it on him? Says he's, could be paid on him, I'm sure. But says it'd be a man at the courthouse, the post office, Monday morning. Says you go there and see him. So Monday morning, I got one up there, I got Laura, and she and I went to the post office and talked to this man. And he was the one that advised her to pay it on Dr. Jones, and he was dead now. That's the thing about it. He's already dead.
Hmm.
And he told her to write to Pearl Street, you know, give her the address and all like that, and take it up with him so that we can handle it through that. So she did enough to come and get Dr. Jones's daughter. And they go over to Jacksonville. Instead of writing a letter, they went over there and went her two daughters, one in Jacksonville and Margie. Margie used to work at the bookstore up at university, Margie Wooster. And so they went to Jacksonville, signed up all these papers, and showed, you know, how much Laura had paid in. So she went back and paid it to 54. And the first check she got paid more to her from Social Security than she had to pay in to get it.
Well, that's phenomenal, ma'am.
And I think, she was getting 83. And they have raised Social Security a little along, you know,
mm-hmm.
5%, I think, most of them have ever got 3% and 5%. So I imagine she's getting close to $100 out of it.
Well, has she got any income besides that?
Mm-hmm. Now, she did. Dr. Jones lent, loan it to the society. He had $10,000 there. And then at his death, she was to draw that back at so much per month.
Mm-hmm.
And she used that up, you see.
Oh, she used that.
She has used it. But to see, the thing about it, you don't get no interest on the money you let the society have. You can draw it out anytime you want to, but you don't get interest on it.
Mm-hmm.
What you do is, you know, without interest.
Mm-hmm. But when Leola did get all that money at one
mm-hmm.
time, then she went to the assembly.
She went to the assembly with it. She was sick up to death, and she'd have never thought about it if it hadn't been
Half
an hour.
Yeah.
And I don't care when any of them up there, them older friends, get done up, don't know what to do, they'll call me.
Yeah.
Or come to see me.
Yeah.
And I have so far, well, the Lord's have figured out some way to help them.
You've had a lot of business experience, maybe.
Just like Jane came to me last week that she was called on the jury. She didn't know how in the world she's going to get out of it. I said, well, you come up there to the house and I'll show you how to get out of it. And I called Carmont, he's the clerk of the court, and he's been a friend of ours ever since we've been in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And he wasn't there, but I asked the girl who would be the judge I would have to call. And she told me Judge Murphy. So I called Judge Murphy, and Jane talked to her. He was at court, so she talked to his secretary and told her that she, you know, why she couldn't serve and all
mm-hmm.
like that. And so when Judge Murphy got back in his office, they called Jane down there and told her she wouldn't have to serve.
Yeah.
And Jane said, well, I'll tell you, Pat, says you always got your thing in something, you help somebody.
Yeah.
But God, I don't forget anything. If I ever need it, you know, in other words, I can figure it out.
Many of them not, but haven't had the bit. Now, and you see, all the time Fel was in business, see, you knew everything that was going on.
Not only everything that went on, I really got, I had it. And when Fel had that nervous breakdown, when we lived down at Everson before this house was built, mm-hmm. this place was built, when mm-hmm. he went in that nervous breakdown, I had to take over.
Oh, really?
We didn't know what nobody else to do it. And we had orders there, you know, with the taking railroad orders. And you don't supply that lumber. Then they can buy it and charge it back to you at your account. Maybe they give you, say, we'll use a figure, $25 a thousand. Well, then if they can locate it somewhere else and they get $30, $35 a thousand for what you got to pay that difference.
Mm.
You see? And so I knew that.
Mm.
And so that I sent Phil up in Georgia and got him away from here. And
well, what got to eating on Phil?
A guy, he's had too many relatives.
Yeah.
He had his mama, his daddy, his brother, sisters, and their children.
Yeah.
His brother was a notorious.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want that. You know, I know you won't repeat it, but he is one of the worst things here. I put him up against anybody in the world. It was trouble with him all the time, getting him out of something.
Oh, yes.
And,
yeah.
So that, when that is one thing that throws him.
Mm-hmm.
Because trying to run that business and his brother doing that.
And it's not somebody look at it and you say, well, what's everybody got something like that. But that's hard. That's not it, Mabel. It's just that constant pressure just from year to year to year until it just eats on you and you just get so you just, it does something to you.
Well, I tell him, now don't play this for nobody.
Yeah.
Because this is between me and you.
Now, this was a nice long session. Ms. Patterson talked the longest time after the others went. Part of it was private matters. She had been able to help people. She started what suggested to her. She is the one who had the idea that Leola and Cora too, I guess, Laura, I mean, could get on, no, I guess, I don't know, get Social Security. That's one of the most touching things, she said, is Leola had that payment made, got over $300, and she, first thing she did, she went to New York to the assembly, and just as happy as she could be. And she wasn't a private matter, she know about her sister, Maureen, over in Jacksonville. Got in trouble, and everybody here, she said, hadn't made a decision what she going to do, pass judgment, and she'd be sent to Lowell. And she'd been able to talk down to the store, you know, when those boys got in a little private difficulties. She said she advised them to settle it out of court. I told her she'd had so much business experience on her own, and then she kept up with Fells, too. And then she went into some of Fell's troubles, you know. And that brother of his, he was always getting him out of trouble. And he had a breakdown. People said she sent him up to Georgia just to get away from all of it. And how long that lasted, I don't know. But that was during the time they had that sawmill up at Micanopy Junction and lived over there at Evanston. And she related tape played out. Minnie lived with Cora. I see Cora is the grandmammy of all this. She's the one that first reached Mabel. And Minnie came over from Germany and lived with her. I guess Cora's husband was Minnie's brother. And that was a little cell. And they had a hole together. And I don't know, they always, when they're improvident, you see, the evil days come upon them. And not always someone to look after them. Oh, yes. Leola was with Cora a long time. And she said Leola was scared to death what would happen to her when Cora died. This is around 500, Channel 1 right, 500, Channel 1 right, and this is a long session with Mabel after the study session, Tuesday the 17th of June, 6 to 9. This is the part, the, right now, is the part, long session with Ms. Patterson talk. Phil hadn't got up and been feeling too well. They're all worried about him. And this was a talk after the ladies had left. After the study session on Tuesday, the 17th of June, 69, this is round 500, Channel 1 right. Now, this is still Tuesday. This is still Tuesday. Tuesday, the 17th of June, 69. I wasn't quite satisfied with that tape this morning. The talk was good. The tape wasn't quite good enough. It wasn't close enough to them. You could hear what they said, but it didn't have the quality. So after supper, I just went back over there, and I thought, well, I'll put the tape back, I'll put the microphone up a little closer, and we'll talk. Now, we did, but it's still not quite close enough. But it's the same thing from a little different point of view. Now, this morning, Mabel had a marvelous thesis that she never forgot anything, and she could find ways of helping people. She helped people like Leola get Social Security. Now tonight, she said, she got Lon Smith on Social Security. And I asked her how she happened to do it, and she tells in this tape. And this morning, she also went and things she didn't go into tonight. Phil was there tonight, where she told some of her best friends to settle these matters out of court. Now, she wouldn't want a tape, so she just told that right confidentially. She said, Ms. Spears really read that well this morning. She put her heart into it. Well, she says, the poor thing, she didn't know hardly very much about reading.
Who have, Mabel?
My mama.
Yes.
She had 3 months. And she told us that. But now, she could read anything like that. She wrote a pretty hand.
Yeah.
And all that.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes, people did have a good hand there.
Yes, they did. My mother wrote a pretty nice hand and all. And she never had but 3 months of schooling.
Well, now, Miss Pierre reads right well.
Mm-hmm.
Now, she taught herself?
I imagine she did. Now, I don't know for sure. But I imagine, raised like she was, that she's learned more probably since she got out of school, she knew to learn in school.
Yeah.
Lots of them did.
Yeah.
Yeah, I went about 21 March.
Well, that fell.
People used to have to work to help make a living back in those days. They didn't have it. No, she didn't know it. The thing about it, she had worked on it years ago.
Yeah.
And she was secretary for,
Guernsey.
Guernsey. You know, where the rest of those Guernsey cows.
Yeah.
And she had done that for years. But she never did work on the Social Security very long. And she didn't think she had worked there long enough that she could get anything. And so when Cora died, well, it was before Cora died, not long before Cora died.
Where did Cora live?
Well, they lived in a little trailer, homemade trailer.
Oh, really?
Wasn't this big, phew, it was the biggest from that one to that door there. And that's what they lived in. And little old Minnie slept in the automobile when Henry died. And then she slept in the, you know, moved inside the trailer. And
wow.
Slept on a little old bitty bed, you know, just hard as a brick.
Yeah.
And it was just, well, anyway, it was built for chest, something like that, homemade.
Uh-huh.
It's about that wide. It had a little bitty, pad on about like that, and they could store things in that. And that's what she slept on. After Henry died, that was Cora, her brother. But when he was living, she slept in the automobile.
Well, how come I'm living in a place like that?
Well, they couldn't afford nothing else much, and they traveled.
Yeah.
you know, in that trailer, you know, they would go to different places, you know, and work, that community. And they had the place to stay, you see.
What'd they do?
What did they do? They'd do a thing of war, but work out every morning. They was out in service at 8 o'clock in the morning. And going from house to house.
Oh. Oh, you know, you really, well, had to make a living.
They was on, they got welfare. But many didn't get welfare till they got to study with me, and Minnie didn't have her citizenship papers, and she couldn't get it.
Oh.
And she thought, Minnie thought, because she was older, she'd die before Cora did.
Yeah.
And so I kept on after her, you know, to get her citizenship papers. I told her, I said, you never do know where you'll be the longest liver or not.
Yeah.
And, or where Cora will be the longest liver or not. And I said that if they don't, I says, you're going to need something to live on. And so she put in for it. And because that whenever they ask you, I guess you know that, are you opposed to war? And would you fight or would you serve in if it was necessary? Well, her answer was no, that she wouldn't do it,
mm-hmm.
that she wouldn't have no part in it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then they wouldn't give her citizenship papers, you see.
Oh.
And so that they sent a man from Jacksonville here, and they just dropped it, wouldn't have nothing else to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
So Dr. Jones wrote to Brother Covington. I reckon has been is the best lawyer in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a witness. He turned down a job of being a lawyer for New York State, $60,000 a year. And he went to school finished school when Truman did. Mm-hmm. They was, he knew him well, Truman. And they wrote to him, Dr. Jones wrote to him. And it wasn't no time before, instead of many having to ask anybody else anything about it, they sent men from Jacksonville up here and went to the trailer and signed it up. And they asked her, why did she go to New York for a lawyer instead of getting one here? She said, because he's a personal friend of ours. But now it went through then. Well, then as she got the papers, then she could get the
she slept in the car.
Till Henry died.
Yeah.
Henry was her brother.
Yeah.
And she slept in the car, you know, and they slept
in
the
car. Well, I didn't realize that. How long did Cora devote so much of her time to the witnessing?
4 years.
Well, that's phenomenal. I've heard you talk all this.
And didn't pay no attention to me. But I mean, that sure, God, they got something nobody else has got.
Yeah.
And you know, the Bible says these, talking about that heavenly class will learn a song and no man can master.
Yeah.
And after you know them and associate with them, you can tell the difference of them and the others.
And when they go from door to door and talk to people, they they find out what people are interested in.
You know, when Mabel was talking to me about...
he has got the education.
Now, that was weeping.
Now, she had the education, what I'm going to tell you about. She could hold down her job.
Oh, Leola does have the education.
And Cora was a school teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And she gave it up for the pioneer work.
Yeah.
And she said that she was raised in Iowa. And she said that her and another woman traveled together and said that they had a place one time that they slept in the attic at a boarding place. They couldn't afford nothing no better. And said that she slept in this place until both of them, and so they didn't have enough cover, and they put all their clothes and the coats and everything else on the bed, and then they slept cold.
Yeah.
And said that they would get up every morning, and she would, excuse me, and then they had 6 volumes to books, you see. In other words, you would have 6 volumes of books, and now then it's the down where it's in one book you can get it all, but they had 6, you know, books, you know, to each volume, and to carry about 2 sets of them things in a suitcase, and you get out and walk. That's the only way they had to go. And they would walk just as far as they could, work in every house, and they'd take it, say, on the right-hand side of the road. And then at noontime, they'd sit down somewhere and eat the sandwich.
Yeah.
Then they'd cut across, you know, and go back to town on the other side of the road.
Yeah.
And take all the houses back
in. Well, now, where was Cora when you knew her?
She found me right here. Well, to tell you the truth, Guy, I had got so hungry till I couldn't stand these churches. And the thing I wanted to know so bad, where the dead was. I knew it was different from what the preachers taught. I knew it had to be. I knew it was something that I couldn't find. And I'd go there and talk to Miss Boyle. And I'd sit on the back doorsteps and sit by there for hours and talk to her. And I would ask her questions, after questions, and she made out like she was a Bible student. She knew what, you know, professional only. She had taken special courses in California.
Oh, she had?
Well, that's what she told me.
Yeah.
But I couldn't get no sense in what she told me. I went to Ms. Wood down there, and I used to think to myself, I'd give anything in the world if I knew my Bible like Ms. Wood did. And I'd talk to her and ask her questions. But still, they didn't give me what I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And I would listen every morning up there. At 9 o'clock, they always had, you know, a preacher would preach over the TV for about 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And the Nazarene preacher was preaching that morning on faith. And I thought to myself that I've only had faith. I thought it in. And I more thought about it, more thought about it. So I went to the barn down yonder and to feed up. And I never seen such a rainfall in my life as fell. And I sat back there on a sack of feed. And I went to praying, and I asked God that if it was anything back like it was in the disciples' time, they could straighten me out to send it to me, send them to me, and I would accept it if they could prove to me that I was right. I would accept it. And you know, it wasn't no time before those 2 old souls come to my house of
faith.
And
Minnie
and Cora. Minnie was the one who came in.
Yeah.
And she about that high, a little bitty thing, wasn't she?
Accent?
Hmm?
Talk with an accent?
Yeah, oh, yeah. And so she came in, and I taken the book, let God be true. Well, I didn't have sense enough to read it when they gave it to me. When I got it, I couldn't understand it. You can't understand it unless God's Spirit is with you. And they kept coming back, and then they came and asked me would I like to study. I told them I sure would. Well, the second time that they came, Minnie came back to the door. And so I began to ask them questions that I wanted to know. And Minnie called for Cora to come in. And so they didn't use their Bible at all. They take mine. You know, I got a great big Bible in yonder. I expect it to cost you $100 now.
Oh, really?
It's got a dictionary, Bible dictionary, everything in it. I didn't have something I could use. But they taken that Bible and began to show me the things that I had begun to want to know.
Yeah.
And Cora asked me, she says, do you believe what the Bible says? I says, I certainly do. She says, well, you can be kept. And she began to show me these things that I'd always wanted to know. And in that big Bible, anything I come to that I didn't understand, I'd write core side of it.
Yeah.
And she came back, and then she'd explain it to me.
Yeah.
So I know that it is a truth because I asked for it and got what I asked for.
Well, how did Cora learn so much? Just study?
Yes, study. She said that she was 15 years old and said that she went to church, you know, with her daddy. They were Presbyterian. And said that she went to church with him every Sunday. And her daddy was a big pillar in the church. And she said this preacher kept preaching on the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she knew what he preached didn't correspond with what the Bible taught.
Mm-hmm.
And she says then this year girl, friend of hers, got some of the literature, you know, she never heard of it, and sent it to Cole. And Cole, when she read it, she says it was on the kingdom. Well, she knew this was what the Bible taught. And says then she wrote to the society and asked them, you know, to send her some literature. And they sent it to her. See, it was a guy back in those days when they were studying, the witnesses were few and far between.
Yeah, yeah.
And maybe they would know of somebody way over yonder that was interested, would write into the society. Then this man or this woman would go maybe 50 or 60 miles over yonder to help that person.
How did Leola and Cora get in touch?
Well, in Gainesville.
At the temple?
Mm-hmm. Leola came to Gainesville, you know, her stomach. She has a terrible bad stomach, and somebody told her that Dr. Jones could help her, and he did help her. And so she came to Gainesville. That's the way that they got in together.
Mm-hmm.
But Cora, when her daddy died, she sold her place. She said back in those days, you couldn't sell nothing because that nobody had, you know, no money to buy anything.
Yeah.
And she says, I think it's 2 years she stayed out of service to wait on her daddy until her daddy died. And then she said that she prayed over it, that whatever, you know, was best to do with that place for God to, you know, sure what to do. And she says, this man come, she didn't know who he was.
Yeah.
Just come out of a clear sky and wanted to buy that place and pay the cash for it.
Yeah.
And she taken that money and used it for the, in the service.
Yeah.
That's what she did with it. But anyway, she said her daddy, you know, never fought her. And said that he told her, I believe, on his deathbed, that says, Cora, as bad as I hate it for you to go with the witnesses, she says, I never seen nobody stand their ground like you did with that preacher.
Mm-hmm.
And she wasn't but 15 years old.
Yeah.
And she says she had a stepmother and said that she evidently must have been a mighty good person. And she said after the preacher left and all like that, says she was just exhausted. And said that when she went to bed, says she couldn't sleep, and says she got up, and moon was shining, and says she knelt down, you know, by this window, you know, looking out of the window, says she was upstairs.
Mm-hmm.
And she says that way after a while, she said the door opened, and her stepmother came in and put her arm around her and went to talking to her, and says then she could get up and go to bed.
Mm-hmm.
But in other words, they had to fight for it. And you know, when all of them were put in jail, that there were so many. You know, Christ says they will go out from us because they wasn't one of us. And it was about 40 or 50,000, you know, whenever they put the brothers in prison. And that whenever they came out, it wasn't but 10,000. You see, the others got scared.
Yeah.
And went out. Christ said that they would do it.
Yeah.
So they would go out from us because there wasn't one of us. And Cora said her and Henry, her husband and Minnie, would go in places, factories where they knew, you know, some of the brothers was, and said that they would turn their back on them and wouldn't even speak to them. and they're just, in other words, they were scared if they did speak to him, they might be put in prison.
Leola went out. Leola, you said, afraid. She got so she was afraid that when Cora died, she wouldn't have anything at all to live on.
Live on. See, that, in other words, that Dr. Jones wasn't, he died and a little while after Cora died, but you see, Leola wasn't working for Dr. Jones then. And her and Cora pioneered together all the time. They was out every morning. Well, Cora had her stroke. She had just eaten her breakfast and had the stroke sitting at the table.
Oh.
And so she lived 7 weeks and died.
Oh.
For a minute, didn't know where she was going. I mean, Cora didn't know where she, listen to me, Leola didn't know where she was going or what was going to become of her.
Mm-hmm.
And stopped down the road below the house and was talking to her. She went all in pieces.
Oh, really?
And I got out and got in the car with her. And I talked to her.
Mm-hmm.
And looked like she was satisfied after then, you know, after I talked to her. That it would be something that would be happen to take care of.
Now, that was after Dr. Jones died.
That was just before. Just before. Cora died just before Dr. Jones died.
That'd be around 55.
No, Dr. Jones had been in the three. We went to New York, and Cora lived several years after then, didn't she? It was long around. It was close to 60. I mean, it's around 60. 60.
Uh-huh.
And Cora died.
Mm-hmm. Well, now where was she living when she died?
She was living, you go out 6th Street, way out there below that schoolhouse, you know, schoolhouse out there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's the first street after you pass that schoolhouse, you turn to your left, and she lived way down that street.
Now, was she still in her trailer?
No, Dr. Jones had bought and had some, he had bought some houses there, and he moved her and many in.
Is that right?
And that was where they was living when she died. Well, she died there, Cora did. And we all chipped in to wait on her.
Yeah.
You never went there that it wasn't somebody from two to three of the witnesses there that waited on her.
Mm-hmm.
They're taking turns about day and night. And it's this way, guy, if I was putting that hospital up yonder, that they would be, you would. It'd be witnesses all the town that I didn't even know would be there to help.
Oh, really?
Yes, sir.
They mean business.
This is the end of Channel One Right. In the middle of that evening session with Ms. Patterson on Cora, Leola, Minnie, Laura, I went back after the study session, after supper, on Tuesday, the 17th of June, 69. And this is the end of Channel One Right. And this tape continued over.